Well, good morning. Give us one more day. Those were the words of our team leader as he pleaded with four young interpreters who were sitting across from us at a hotel in Concepcion, Chile. Here we were, there were four Americans and three Australians, thousands of miles away from our home in a strange land, helpless as newborn babes. We were unable to ask directions, unable to count our money, unable to even order a hamburger and fries. You see, not being able to speak Spanish was going to make our communication down there very difficult. Not to mention, how are we going to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ? But actually, things began well enough for us as Gideon's in Concepcion had arranged for four interpreters to translate for us during the 8 days that we would be in Chile. But when those language students met us for the first time at our hotel and found out that we were professional businessmen, they began to have second thoughts. Who were these Gideones, as they called us? Why were they here? What did we want? Well, maybe some of you can identify with the questions raised by these young ladies. And after listening to what was expected of them, they quietly told us they needed to talk amongst themselves for a little while. Not long afterwards, they came back and told us they could not translate for us. We were not at all what they had expected. We did not fit the description that their teacher had gave of us. We were too professional in our dress and our mannerisms. We appeared much too serious. There was no way they could interpret it for us for a whole week. That's when our leader, Kevin Fuller, pleaded with them to give us just one day. We all felt that if they could be with us for just one day, they would see what we do and understand why we came. Besides, if they spent one day with John Isles, who was from Tasmania, there's no way they'd think that we were too serious, except maybe about the Lord. Well, they looked at us and they looked at each other and they whispered amongst themselves, and then their leader, Marta, told us that they would give us one day. Thank you, Jesus, was all we could say. But you know what? One day turned into 2 days, 2 days into three, and faster than you can imagine, a week came and went, and our interpreters, they never left. They couldn't, you see, for God had a plan for their lives. And four young women who didn't know anything about the Gideons, didn't know anything about the Lord. Well, by the end of that week, all four of those young ladies came to know not only the Gideon ministry, but they came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. So was it worth it? Yes, brothers and sisters, it was definitely worth it. For passing out the word of God is always worth it. And seeing four young women come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior was definitely worth it. Our team couldn't stop praising the Lord. Well, maybe you've wondered, just like our interpreters, who are the Gideons? And what were we doing in Chile? Well, first let me thank our pastor and you, the men and women and boys and girls of Christ Church, for having the Gideons come and give a stewardship report about what a great and wonderful work our Lord Jesus Christ is doing through the Gideon ministry. Bonnie and I always consider it a privilege to share the Gideon ministry with you. You know, in the last few months, we've had a number of younger children in our service, and it's such a blessing. And I always get a chuckle when I think about the way that children can say the darndest things. I got just a couple stories for you. There was a third grade Sunday school class. We were reviewing the Ten Commandments, and the teacher asked one young boy, if a mother told Johnny not to tease the dog and pull his tail, and he did it anyway, what commandment would he be breaking? Well, the little boy responded, I don't know the number of the commandment, but whatever God has joined together, let not man pull asunder. And my favorite, returning home from Sunday school, a little girl told how disappointed she was with the class reaction after the day's lesson. We were taught to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, she told her mother, but all we did was just sit there. Well, from the mouth of babes, huh? Well, sitting in one place too long is never good, and our pastor has just finished a series about being salt and light and the importance of God's Word. He challenged us to read through the Bible in a year. He's also encouraged us from the pulpit, has provided reading plans to help us accomplish that very goal. Pastor knows that it's only through absorbing and immersing ourselves in God's Word that we can be the salt and light that our Lord expects from His followers. Being salt and light also fits perfectly into our mission as Gideons, because it's our desire to partner with you and ensure that His word and the gospel message is distributed throughout the world. It's because we serve a great God that we do what we do. He deserves the praise and the glory for the souls that are won. We Gideons just sow His word in faith. As Psalm 96:8 says, "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name." And what a name it is. God's name is powerful. God's word is powerful. It can change lives. We hear about it virtually every day as people from all walks of life and every different background imaginable send their testimonies to Gideon headquarters. God is in the life-changing business, and we believe that Jesus wants each of us to be channels of blessing to all that we meet. That's why He called me to be a Gideon. So who are the Gideons? Well, the Gideon International is a interdenominational Christian business and professional men's association. We have 158,000 members serving as your missionaries. So really, we're just an extended arm of your church in 199 countries around the world. We are missions oriented, just as you are, which is so obvious when we see your commitment to Mark and Parker Phillips, for instance, or Steve and Jenny Louisbrand, or Matt Haddon out on Pine Ridge, as well as a host of other missionaries which you support. And like you, our one purpose and one objective is to win others to the Lord. And we do this through personal testimony and through the work of individual Gideons who place the copies of God's word in places like hotels and motels, hospitals, convalescent homes, jails, law enforcement agencies, induction centers, fire departments, colleges and university campuses, even in elementary and secondary schools. Additionally, Bibles are placed in the offices of physicians and dentists by the auxiliary, that is, our wives, who also place testaments in the hands of nurses and other medical support personnel. Is it important that we do this? Well, in Esther 4:14, it states, "Who knows whether you have come into the kingdom for such a time as this?" Beloved, that's why you and I are here, as Mordecai said so long ago to Esther, for such a time as this. It was also for such a time as this that I was in Chile several years ago. For 8 days, I was blessed to work and pray with 6 guys that I had never met before. But we forged a closeness as we labored with our fellow Gideons and auxiliary in Chile to reach as many people as time permitted. Monday through Friday was a blur of activity, but one thing was crystal clear, and that's what happened to our interpreters. We had 4 interpreters, Daniela, Carolina, Marta, and Elsa. And we would break into teams of 2, or sometimes 1, depending on how many Gideons that we had there with us. And we would go to, well, mainly schools. We would go to sometimes at least 3 schools a day, sometimes 4, because down there they would have their schools late into the evening. And sometimes we'd go to the same school twice, because they would have a morning session with 1 group of students and then maybe an afternoon or evening session with another group of students. And we would go classroom to classroom, which we cannot do here in the United States. But there we would pray with the principal, and then she would take us from classroom to classroom. And so we would give the gospel message to these young people time after time. Not a very long message, 5-10 minutes, but these interpreters of ours would say that gospel message. They'd hear it from me, and then they would repeat it to the kids. And so we would go from classroom to classroom, doing the same thing again and again. And again and again, these young ladies heard the gospel of Jesus Christ again and again. And so they would hear it. I would do it at least 6 times in one school. And if we hit 3 schools, that's roughly 18 times. And that's just me. And then we had others that would also be preaching to these young people. And so the young ladies, day after day, would be hearing the gospel message. And one by one, each of them came to know the Lord. And it was such a blessing. Now you have to ask, were they selected by whim or by fate? No. But because a merciful Lord loved them, wanted to change their lives, they were our interpreters for such a time as this. And how about you this morning? Are you here this morning by chance? No, I don't think so. I believe you are here for just such a time as this so that you can be the salt and light that Pastor has been speaking about over these past weeks. Never forget that you are a Christian, not by chance, but by choice. And that choice is Jesus' choice. As he says in John 15:16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. And go and bear fruit is what the Gideon ministry is all about. That's what it means to be salt and light. That is why we share with you on an annual basis what God is doing through this ministry, and to ask for your continued support in 3 key areas. First, we need your prayer support. Not only do we need it, we covet it. As Apostle Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:25, brethren, pray for us. And that is our plea as well. Please pray for open doors in countries now closed to the gospel. Pray for our brothers and sisters who are laboring all around the world, many times in difficult circumstances. Pray for us right here in Rapid City. For the need here in this community and the Black Hills is just as great as in Chile or anywhere else in the world. Second, we not only need your prayer support, but we need other Christian business and professional men who are looking for a way to serve our Lord. You certainly don't have to go to Chile to be used of the Lord. You can be used right here in Rapid City. We need men who can take a couple of hours and go to our local schools or colleges and place copies of God's Word, very similar to this, in the hands of students, of boys and girls who need the Lord. Last fall, we went to the School of Mines, and we distributed over 600 testaments to the college students there at the School of Mines. And while we can't go inside the classrooms and the schools like we could in Chile, our young people are just as hungry for the Word of God as they were down there. Wouldn't you like to be that difference in somebody today? Please pray about joining the Gideon ministry. And I need to introduce a gentleman, that fellow Gideon who's with me here this morning, Mark Medellin and his wife Melanie. Mark is also Gideon. He and I will be in the back after the service. If you have questions about the Gideon ministry or if you would like to make a donation, you can certainly give it to either Mark or myself. And then thirdly, we need your financial support. A Bible we place in a hotel or motel is about $5. A little testament like the one I was just showing you, like this little pocket testament, is $1.56. Perhaps the Lord will lay it on your heart to purchase one of these testaments or a dozen of them or a whole box. Now, whether it's 1 or 100, no matter what, God will bless that gift. Did you know that on average, one hotel Bible lasts about 6 years? And Gideons have found that, on average, it reaches about 2,300 people. So think of it, 2,300 people reading God's Word, 2,300 lives that are touched and changed by the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. But suppose there wasn't a Bible in that hotel room. Then what? That's 2,300 missed opportunities, 2,300 lives untouched and unchanged by one they might never know. And that's 2,300 souls that could go into eternity lost. And why? simply because a motel room was missing a Bible. So are donations for Bibles important? Yes, they are. Can you make a difference? Absolutely. And if you give, I want you to know that 100% of your contributions, every single dime, goes to purchase and to ship Bibles. When Gideons go to Chile like I did, or to Malawi, or Portugal, or India, or wherever, not a penny of that money that you give goes for that. The Gideons themselves, through our dues, cover all travel and administrative costs to operate this ministry. So how else can you contribute? You can contribute through the Gideon Card Program. It's a marvelous way to give Gideon cards, and we have some in the back there and come in each of our doors. Yeah, you can give in memory of somebody who has passed away and donate Bibles in their memory, or maybe in recognition of a birthday or a special event in their lives or graduation. You can also just thinking of you. Maybe somebody's placed a burden on your heart for somebody to pray for them, and you can donate Bibles that way, or praying for you. The Gideons have a number of different cards, and if you'd like one and there's not one available, we'll make sure, just see me or Mark, and we'll make sure that you get them. Well, how then shall we live? Allow me to close with Matthew 5:13 from the New Living Translation. It says, "You are the salt of the earth, but what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless." As the Lord leads today, please be the salt and light that our Savior desires. Walk carefully, live purposefully, and be wise, making the most of your time. For who knows whether you aren't come to the kingdom for such a time as this. So thank you, and may the Lord richly bless you. I want to close with a video about a man who ended up in prison, but soon discovered that God had a plan for his life, and he ended up being salt and light to hundreds of those around him. And after the video, the pastor will pray for us, and Mark and I will be standing in the back if you have any questions about the Gideon ministry. Bob?
You hear about the thousands, the millions of Bibles that are distributed, the remarkable union of pastors and Gideon businessmen and women that are committed distributing Bibles, but it all comes down to someone like me. I was raised on the west side of Cleveland, Ohio, 117th Street. My father went to work before the sun came up, and he came home after the sun went down 7 days a week. A union card-carrying liberal Democrat, he was an atheist. He never set foot in a church, not for a funeral or for a wedding my entire life. When I was at 11 years of age, my mother found herself in the arms of another man and left with my sister and my two brothers, and my father found himself in the arms of a bottle. That same year, I joined a gang. I was arrested for stealing firearms in the fifth grade, stole my first car before I started the sixth grade, and became a ward of the state. At the age of 14, having stabbed a young man, I ended up in Elmira State Reform School and spent my entire high school behind bars. I won't waste your time with it. It's a nightmare no one should live through. I ended up going in the Marine Corps to avoid further time in prison. By the time I was 18, I was in the jungles of Vietnam as a young Marine. And like reform school, it's a waste of time to talk about. It was another hideous experience that left me violent and unhappy and addicted to drugs and alcohol and pornography, violence and anger. I came back to be spit upon and mistreated by a country that was now in revolt against the war that I had just come back from. And I joined the Weathermen and the Black Panthers and the Underground and went to universities like Kent State, not just an anti-war aggravator. I couldn't understand how people like you could sit by with your suits and go to your churches and not know what was going on in the underbelly of society, because I had never worked a day in my life. My food was provided by the state and then by the federal government, and I was a habitual welfare case. I stole some credit cards from a doctor and went cross country, got arrested at Lake Tahoe, checked into a club. I wasn't even 20 years old, couldn't grow a beard, but I had already been through med school and they figured it out, and I had to do 4 months in El Dorado County Jail. Pretty sharp of them. I turned 21 in that jail, and I remember my mother saying when I was 14 that I would be in jail or I'd be dead by the time I was 21. I fulfilled her expectations. I was in California, the land of fruits and nuts, so immediately I got out and I began to look for answers. I went to Stephen's Monday night class. I tried Scientology. If there was a cult, I tried it. One of the things I tried, you fast 24 hours and then drink a gallon of grape juice. Now, that'll move you. I tried everything but the Bible or church because of the way I was raised. I left that place and was hitchhiking cross country, talked to a young girl and dropping out of college and heading with me. We were going to go to the Middle East. We were on our way to Miami to catch a freighter because we knew maybe some place that had existed for thousands of years instead of America, which was only a couple hundred years old, might have some answers. And we knew there had to be an absolute truth. We couldn't live in a world full of relativism, but crossing out of Alabama into Florida was arrested once again for trespassing. I don't know if it was my shoulder-length hair, the hippie garb, but we found ourselves in one of the nastiest jails I'd ever been in. It was segregated. They separated us Yankees from the Southerners. Well, not wanting to borrow cigarettes off anybody, I would take the butts off the floor at nighttime and roll the tobacco out and make a pile. I would tear pages out of books and roll cigarettes, but Louis L'Amour and Mickey Spillane, they're coarse books and smoke rough. Some of you have done it, huh? I found a book with thin pages. So I was smoking Leviticus. And I started reading the Gospel of John. It's hard to stand amongst pastors and Christians and say, I lived in America and I was 21 and it was the first time I held a Bible. As I read the Gospel of John, I put my father's face and his fists on the face of God, and I had a hard time believing that God could love me. I did not have a problem with sin. I got the sin part. And December 18th at 7 o'clock at night, I bent my head and with no understanding of theology, only that I was a sinner and I needed God, I cried out and I said, God, please forgive me for my sins. Help me. The shackles of sin and shame and guilt dropped away, and I wrote a letter to the sheriff that arrested me. Turned out he was a deacon in the church. He came. They dismissed the charges, and I was released. And on the way back to where we had been arrested, where we had threw our backpacks full of drugs into the woods running from the police, I told the young girl that I had gotten arrested that we don't need to go to Egypt. I found there's an absolute truth. There's a God, and he had a son. And she began to weep. She said, I wasn't sure how to tell you. There was a Bible in my jail cell, and I gave my life to Christ, and I wasn't sure what I was going to tell you when we saw each other in court. What could I do? I married her. Deborah, would you stand up? Pastors, someone in a church like yours, who probably never ever introduced anybody to Jesus, paid for a Bible, that spent 7 years in a hotel before it found its way to that jail cell. And when I gave my life to Christ, he got me. My 5 children have been raised Christians and all serve God. My 9 children will do the same. My brother I led to Christ, and he's the children's pastor. I led my sister to Christ, and I'm working through it. My sister-in-law just came to Christ. 38 years we're praying for him. She just gave her life to Christ recently. I want you to know something. When I get to heaven, I'm going to find the person that paid for that Bible, and I'm going to introduce him to all of the people I've led to Christ. I'm an outreach pastor. I don't spend my time picking fleas off of sheep in the congregation. I'm talking to lost people all the time. My wife wanted me to be a Gideon, Gideons. But I backslid and became a pastor. And Gideons, it may be a thankless experience at times when you're out there sharing and delivering Bibles and moving around, but I'm going to get to heaven and I'm going to find that Gideon who's long dead, I'm sure. He's sitting up there with Lazarus and Abraham, and when I find him, I'm going to kiss his feet and tell him my family never knew what I knew because Gideon's cared enough to put a Bible in a place where I would run into it in the highways and the byways of America. And it grabbed my soul and hasn't let go. And now I long for an opportunity to stand before Gideons and say, what you do makes a difference. It isn't millions of Bibles, it's millions of people that meet the Savior. We're transformed, and we're all the time finding new ways to say, pastors, this isn't a small ministry, it's life-changing. And Gideon's, what you do makes a difference. So me and my children and my grandchildren, we salute you. Thank you for serving God in such a meaningful ministry. You hear about
Before we go, we've heard the gospel shared this morning. I hope that you understand if you're here without Jesus, you've never received him. The only choice that's before us is as God works in your heart and life is for you to do what this man did in that jail cell and surrender and say, God, please save me. And cry out to him and allow him to do a work in your life. If that's never happened in your life, I hope after we pray that you will find me or one of our elders at the close of the service, give us an opportunity to share with you a little bit more about the gospel. Let's stand together. Father, thank you for what we've heard this morning. Thank you that you give us the opportunity to give so that others can hear, to share so that others can experience the gospel. You could make the rocks cry out, but you've chosen to use us and to use our voices and to use your word to bring others to you. Father, my prayer is that if there's one here who's never trusted you as Savior, that today they might cry out from a heart of surrender and give their life to you. Father, thank you for speaking to us. And now go with us as we are dismissed in your grace. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.